Tonight, our subject matter in the series Forgotten Virtues of Godly Character is the fear of the Lord. And tonight, we're going to be looking at a lot of passages, or I'm going to be looking at a lot of them. I don't know if you'll be able to keep up or not, but I do suggest if you would like to get something out to write the passages down, but if you were me, I just get on the church's website and pause it and take them down later when it's up. But either way, we're going to be looking at a lot of passages tonight. There's no one passage that really encapsulates what it means to fear the Lord. But I want to begin with Psalm 145, beginning with verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. Deuteronomy 5:29 states that God desires that we would fear him. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24, the Lord has commanded his people to fear him because it is for our good. In Acts chapter 9, verse 31, believers are expected to fear the Lord as much as they are to experience the comforting presence of the Holy Spirit. In Proverbs 19:23, those who fear the Lord experience satisfaction in life. And Psalm 112, verse 1, states those who fear the Lord experience his favor. I want to read one more passage. It's from Psalm 103, beginning with verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. When I was a boy, I remember not just my parents' generation, but actually my grandparents' generation. And I remember hearing in church, growing up in church as a boy, people often using an expression that we just don't hear today much in the church. In fact, I don't ever hear it, but I'm not everywhere. But what I heard then quite often was that the people in the church would refer to someone who was living what they would say a godly life or a Christ-like life, they would say that there is a God-fearing man, or she is a God-fearing woman. And it's an expression that, I don't know why, I have some opinions about why, but I don't know why, but I can tell you this much, in six decades, it's gone from that being, among Southern Baptists, a very common expression to almost one that's completely gone, at least in the circles I've been in for the last five decades. And so tonight, as Dr. Cook asked me, he asked me to, as we look at forgotten virtues of godly character, to speak of the fear of the Lord. And I want to approach it with four questions. And tonight, our time together looking at this will not do justice to this, but hopefully it will at least be an effort to talk about something that's very important, I think, in the Scriptures. And so the four questions I want to address tonight are: what are the benefits of fearing the Lord? How can we become people who fear the Lord? If we do not fear the Lord, number three, if we do not fear the Lord as we should, why is that? And number four, what does it mean for believers to fear the Lord? I will tell you right away what the fear of the Lord is not. I am so thankful for my Sunday school teachers. You have no idea, you might if you know me well, how much I put my Sunday school teachers through. I mean, I was a tough character when I was little. I was hard to manage. Every picture my parents took up until I was like 4 years old, I was running, and my mom was trying to catch me as the picture was snapped. And so I was just always on the go, trying to go somewhere and not be where I was. And also, I realized it really bothered my teachers if I didn't look at them. So I started not looking at them when they taught, and I'd look out the window or look at the ceiling or look at the floor, and I knew that just eat them up, and I did it on purpose. And then as I got older, I started asking questions of them that I knew that they didn't want to answer. And so that was a lot of fun too. So I just put my Sunday school teachers through just a lot of trouble. Now BFG, I think they changed the name from Sunday school to BFG because teachers wouldn't teach because of what I did in Sunday school. So they changed it so it'd be better in that way. But one of the things I will say about my Sunday school teachers where they dropped the ball is when it came to the fear of the Lord. And children understand, children pay attention to adults, especially when you were like me that I spent almost all my time, it seemed like, in church or in school. And it was interesting to me that watching these adult teachers, whenever they would read a verse about the fear of the Lord, and that would be a part of the passage, they would get very serious. And they'd give us that serious look that, now I'm about to say something serious, you need to listen. And this is what they would say. To fear the Lord doesn't mean that you should ever be afraid of Him. That there is no reason to be afraid of the Lord. And they would say this is what it means to fear the Lord. It means to respect Him. Now, we can talk about the first part of what they said, and there's some truth to it and some that may not be completely true, but they were on track with the first part. But the second part's where they caught me, because they said the fear of the Lord means to respect Him. I grew up in a southern home in Cleveland, Ohio. And in my family, I heard a phrase that every southern kid in my generation heard, and maybe other generations as well. And the phrase was, you had better respect your elders. And so I heard that my entire life. Elders, that means old people, were, at least that's what it meant to me as a kid. They were always right, even if they were wrong, according to my parents, and how I would respond to them. And so what I came to realize, and it didn't take long as a child, to realize that adults aren't always right. And yet, I knew I had better respect them because they were elders. God deserves much more than respect. And when we talk about the fear of the Lord, it is much more than respect. And so tonight I want to try to address some of this. There are about 300 verses in the Bible that speak of fearing the Lord or fearing God in some way or context. And so let's start with the first question. What are the benefits of fearing the Lord? And I'm only going to mention five. The first benefit I would say is this. The fear of the Lord is not only the beginning of wisdom, but it's also wisdom itself. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And if you've gone to Sunday school, you're familiar with that passage. But let's understand, Job says something that's very interesting in Job 28:28. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. So fearing the Lord is not only the beginning of wisdom, but the fear of the Lord is wisdom. So that's one of the benefits, wisdom. A second one, the fear of the Lord motivates believers to be Christ-like in their behavior. The fear of the Lord motivates believers to be Christ-like in their behavior. Proverbs 16, verse 6 states, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Let me say that again. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And so when a person fears the Lord, they want to depart from evil, and they cling to that which is good. And so that's one of the benefits of fearing the Lord, because there's only one who is truly good, and that is God Himself. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And so to fear the Lord, it motivates us to be Christ-like in our behavior. A third benefit, and this is just a verse itself, Psalm 147:11 states, the Lord favors those who fear Him. This word favors, when we see it, I really like the word favors. We throw around in the church today the word bless, and I don't think we even know what that means sometimes when we use the word bless. But the idea of blessing is really the idea of favor. Blessing is not what the health, wealth, and gospel people are saying, that everything's going to go the way we prefer it to go. I give you an example of Paul and Silas when they're in prison. No one of us, I think, in here wants to go to prison, even if it's for our faith. And yet Paul and Silas did, but they were rejoicing as they were there. Why? Because they knew they had God's favor. They were in God's favor, even though they were in a very difficult circumstance. And so the one who fears the Lord is the one who enjoys the Lord's favor. A fourth benefit is the fear of the Lord produces a sense of security. There's a lot of anxiety in the world today. There's a lot of anxiety among Christians today. But the Bible teaches that the fear of the Lord produces a sense of security. Proverbs 14, 26. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and His children will have refuge. When we fear the Lord, we have His protection, Psalm 34, 7. When we fear the Lord, we have His provision, Psalm 34, 9 and 10. When we fear the Lord, we have the Lord's watchful, ever watchful attention, Psalm 33, verse 18. So the fear of the Lord, when we fear the Lord, it produces a sense of security. And then the last one I'll mention is fearing the Lord, again, and I said this, it motivates us to be like Christ. Number five is fearing the Lord will make us more like Christ. That's the difference. Fearing the Lord not only motivates us to want to be like Christ, but you know what? The fear of the Lord will make us more like Christ. Isaiah prophesied about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And in Isaiah chapter 11, notice what he prophesied about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on Him, talking about the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on the Messiah. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And He, the Messiah, will delight in the fear of the Lord. So fearing the Lord will make us more like Christ. So these are some of the benefits of fearing the Lord. The next question is, how can we become people who do fear the Lord? How can we become a people who fear the Lord? If we should fear the Lord, if the Bible tells us that we should fear the Lord, if we see that it's God's desire for us to fear the Lord, then how can we become a people who fear the Lord? The first answer to this is going to be so simple to you that you're going to wonder, well, everybody knows this, but I have more to it than what I'm about to say. And that is, we become a people who fear the Lord by knowing the Lord. And of course, this means that knowing Him by grace through faith and trusting Him as our Lord and Savior and knowing Him as Lord and Savior. But there's more to it than that, because there's more to knowing the Lord than knowing Him as our Lord and Savior. For instance, when we think about growing in Christ, would you not agree with me that while we know Him, there's room for growth in our knowledge of Him? We know Him, but we don't know everything there is to know about Him. There's room for growth. And so we need to know Him as our Savior, but we also need to know Him or be knowing Him and continue to grow in our knowledge of Him. And also in the same vein, not only knowing Him, but trusting Him. And we need to understand that we need to know Him and we need to trust Him. I think about the idea of knowing Him in this sense. I read this several years ago and it caught my attention. A pastor and author, he's long gone to be with the Lord, A.W. Tozer, wrote these words though. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. That our idea of God corresponds as nearly as possible to the true being of God is of immense importance to us. And you see, we need to know Him as our Savior, but we need to know Him for who He is. And I think about this passage in Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and children will have refuge. You just heard me read that, right? And then I said, when we fear the Lord, we have His protection. And then I said, when we fear the Lord, we have His provision. And then I said, and when we fear the Lord, we have His watchful attention. And I ask you, do you believe these statements? And I think most of you, if not all of you, would say, yes, that's what the Bible states. I believe the Bible. I believe that. I believe that to be true. So if you believe that there's strong confidence in fearing the Lord, if you believe that He is our protection, if you believe He is our provision, if you believe He is our watch, that He gives us His watchful attention, then why are we so anxious? Why is it in the church today among believers, we are an anxious people, worried? In fact, it's the one sin that is okay among us, to be anxious, to worry about things. And yet we say that we believe that the Lord is our strong confidence, and we believe that He is our protection. We believe He's our provision. We believe that we have His watchful attention, and we know these things to be true, and yet, do we really know them in such a way that we trust that it's true? So the thing is, how do we become a people who fear the Lord? We need to know Him. We need to know who He is. We need to know what He's capable of as much as we can. And we need to know what He has said in His Word. And then, by knowing the Lord, we need to also trust in who He is, trust that He is capable of what He says He can do. And we need to know what He says in His Word and trust it. So we need to know what He is, who He is, and what His Word says. And then we need to trust who He is and what He's capable of and what His Word says. All of that needs to be involved. And when we don't do those things, We don't fear the Lord. Let me remind you of some of the attributes of God real quick. Just some of them. God is all-knowing, omniscient. God is everywhere, omnipresent. God is all-powerful, omnipotent. God is perfectly wise. God is immutable, never changes. God is eternal. God is patient. God is merciful. God is gracious. God is just. God is righteous. God is self-sufficient. God is transcendent. God is sovereign. God is faithful. God is good. And God is love. All of these things are true about God. And we may know those things, but do we really know them completely? You see, the Lord is committed to our knowing those things, but becoming intimately knowledgeable of those things so that we might truly know Him, you see. And when we begin to know that He is these things, and then we begin to trust that He is these things, that's where fearing the Lord begins to set in to our lives. It involves knowing these truths and living life in light of these truths. I've repeated Dr. Cook many times with this. I tell people that even he once in a while says something that's just memorable, okay? But he has said this, and I am so grateful for him in so many ways. But he says, and he tells our students this, he's told us this in the church, you are not what you know. Just because you know all these truths here, that doesn't mean that you really trust that God is all-knowing, that you trust that He's everywhere, that you trust that He's perfect and trustworthy and all the attributes of God. Just because we know it here doesn't mean that we are that person who is really trusting in that knowledge of who God is. It's only when we know, and we know from experience, and we trust that God is who He is, that He's capable of doing what He says He will do, and that we can trust that He is faithful in all these things, that's where fearing the Lord begins. So what are the benefits of fearing the Lord? How can we become a people who fear the Lord if we do not fear the Lord as we should? Why is that? Simply put, we either don't know Him as Lord and Savior, or we may know Him as Lord and Savior, but we've not grown in our knowledge of Him. Or we may know Him as our Lord and Savior and have grown in our knowledge of Him, but we waver in our trust in who He is and what He is capable of and what He has told us in His Word. And all through the Scripture, when it talks about fearing the Lord, a sure sign of not fearing the Lord is disobedience to Him. Because the person who fears the Lord will obey Him. So here it is that brings us to this question: what does it mean for believers to fear the Lord? Exodus 20:20 helps us with this. It demonstrates two kinds of fear that are mentioned in the Bible. And here's the passage in Exodus 20:20. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." And here's a contrast right here drawn between being afraid of God. And by the way, in Hebrew, the Old Testament written in Hebrew, it's the same word. When our translations use the word afraid or fear, it's only one word in Hebrew. It's the same word. And so he says, don't fear so that you might fear. So why are we not to fear God? In the context here, Moses is telling the people, God is not punishing you. God is not against you. God is for you. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to fear God that He is against you. Even when He disciplines you, He is not against you. And so believers are not to be afraid of God. We're not to fear God, and yet we are to have a proper fear of God. So what is that proper fear of God? Well, first of all, let's be clear. Those who are not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord have every reason to be afraid of God. John 3:36, Jesus said, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." And then in 2 Thessalonians 1:8, it indicates that the Lord Jesus Christ, I quote, "will deal out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." But then 1 John 4:18 says, "Perfect love drives out fear." It drives out this kind of fear. Fear that God is against us and fear that we're under his wrath. When we have the perfect love of Christ in us, it drives out that fear that unbelievers should have. We need not fear God's wrath or his judgment. Nevertheless, when believers are mindful that if the Lord had not saved us from his wrath, which, by the way, we were under God's wrath before he saved us, we understand that the psalmist wrote in Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4 more clearly. He wrote this: "If you, O Lord, kept a record of our sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared." This has always been strange to me, that if you kept a record, we couldn't stand, but you forgive us, therefore we fear you. What's the idea? I was with my family many years ago in West Virginia, the flattest state in the country, right? No, it's not. And we were on a mountain, and there was a rainstorm, and we were at the top of this mountain, and we started going down, and I hydroplaned and lost control of our van. Me, my wife, and two little boys at that time. And we got down to the bottom of the mountain and was able to get off to the side of the road. Our luggage was on the rack up above. It was gone. But we got on the side. There was a guardrail there. And we got out, and I know I was literally shaking, and I think everyone else was too. And yet I was grateful and thankful that we were alive. And I looked, there was the guardrail there, about 50 yards ahead, there was no guardrail, and it was a steep cliff all the way down. And it was a near miss. And I believe with all my heart, God saved us. And in that moment, I was shaking in fear because of what happened, and at the same time, grateful and thankful that God saved us in that moment. That's something of the idea of fearing the Lord. He's saying here, we need to understand that if God had not saved us through Christ, if Christ had not taken our punishment, the wrath of God for us on the cross, that would be us. But he did save us, and so we fear him. We reverence him. We're in awe of him. We can't get a handle on how he could do such a great thing for us. And yet we're a little shook up by the whole thing when we realize we were this close to an eternity separated from God were it not for the goodness of God in saving us. Aren't you glad of that? How can we be flippant about that God? How can we take him lightly when we recognize these things? And so when we think about this, I want to end. And you're like, we want you to end. So I will end with a definition of what it means to fear the Lord. And it's long. The fear of the Lord is both the beginning of wisdom and wisdom itself. It's having God at the center of one's life, and it's what results when one realizes that if it were not for God's merciful and gracious forgiveness and salvation through his Son, he or she should have and would have experienced the wrath of God. It is a consuming, deep-seated reverence and awe for God that causes believers to hate evil and instead desire to honor God above everything else and avoid his loving discipline. It involves acknowledgement, faith, dependence, submission, obedience, consideration, attentiveness, wonder, admiration, worship, and love. Inspired by his salvation, eternal attributes, and all-encompassing authority. I think we need to bring back the language that we are to be a God-fearing people, because that's what I want to be, and I'm thinking that's what you want to be as well. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much for this time tonight to be able to look at your word and to talk about something that is very strange in our culture today, to think about fearing, especially fearing you. But Lord, when we realize what it means in your word, and we realize how important it is for us that you have commanded us to fear you, that you deserve this, that this is right and it is for our good, I pray that you would help us to not turn aside this wonderful teaching in Scripture, but that we would not only grasp it, but that we would seek to be that for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.